The Bright Side Home Theater Podcast is a spoiler podcast. The opinions and reviews are solely those of the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Bright Side Home Theater.
Happy holidays, home theater nerds. I'm back. It's Friday. It's the Friday before Christmas. Pretty slow week coming up, being next Tuesday is Christmas Eve. There are no new 4Ks scheduled for release next week. And that's good because I couldn't hook up with Justin this week. I was checking out his website, though, over there at highdefdiscnews.com. Some pretty exciting news coming up. I'm really excited for Terminator Dark Fate. That's going to be good. That's coming next month. Also, he has an article on Hunt for Red October is getting a 4K Blu-ray Steelbook release. Really looking forward to that. I'm really hoping that one is in Atmos. But this being the holiday season, I thought I'd take a look at some Blu-rays I don't have in 4K. You know, maybe Santa will be good to me. Who knows? Who knows who's listening to this podcast? This is my wish list for Christmas. Ad Astra just came out. I haven't picked that one up yet. Angel Has Fallen. I haven't gotten that one yet. Brightburn. I can't believe I haven't picked that one up yet. Doctor Strange in 4K. Guardians of the Galaxy in 4K. One or two. I don't have either of those yet. Hustlers. That just came out. That's pretty good. I was thinking of picking that one up. And John Wick 3. Haven't picked that one up yet either. I was looking through my collection at stuff that I have and that I don't have. These are a few that I found that I don't have, but what I did find is I actually have two copies of Saving Private Ryan. One I just bought like a week ago because I didn't think I had it. So that got me to find a new app to track all my Blu-rays. I have another one that I've been using. It's got over 400 Blu-rays in it, but this app I'm going to use strictly for my 4Ks. The new app that I picked up is called My Movies 3 Pro. I have it on for the iPhone. I downloaded the free version, and that allows you to have 50 titles. Quickly flew through that in like 10 minutes. It's real easy to download using the barcode. And I really enjoyed the interface. I like the way you can label stuff and categorize things. So I decided to grab it. The pro version is $10. So I grabbed that and I really like it. And these are the movies that I found that I don't have. So we'll see if Santa's good to me this year. And in some Bright Side Home Theater news, we got a new review. A 5-star review from at Dr. Joe Gilmore. Title is DJ Knows His Stuff. Thank you. DJ is extremely passionate and knowledgeable about all things home theater, and he not only loves geeking out about it, that's nerding out, we're on the Nerdy Legion, but he's that was my editorial. But he's very more than happy to discuss with you on Twitter. If you're a home theater novice or junkie, this podcast is for you. Thanks, Dr. Joe. That was awesome. And yes, I am extremely passionate. I love talking home theater. Like Dr. Joe said, love to talk about it on Twitter. If anybody has any questions, any ideas for the podcast, you can get me at BrightsideHT on Twitter, or you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. Got some ideas for different directions for the podcast. You'll see in this one, I'm putting in some timestamps. Just trying to make this more interactive, more engaging. If you have scenes that you like from particular movies, let me know on Twitter. I'll watch them, then I'll comment on them in the podcast. That's kind of the idea I had for the podcast, because that's what I do when I run into people that have a home theater. We talk about scenes and what they sound like, what they look like. And that's what I wanted to do here. So with that, why don't we head into the theater and we'll check out Lethal Weapon. Another great classic holiday favorite.
He's the criminal's worst nightmare. A cop who enjoys the danger.
No guns, no jiu-jitsu, just bring him down.
Do you really want to jump?
Well, then that's fine with me. Come on.
Wait, what do you mean? Wait a minute. What the...
He was ready to retire. Now, he's going to wish he had.
Gun!
Raj, meet your new partner.
New partner? Oh, too old for this.
If these guys can just stand each other...
What you got in there?
Boy and Smith?
A lot of old-timers carry those.
The bad guys don't stand a chance.
Don't kill anybody.
Don't kill anybody.
I'm too old for this.
Are you as good as you say you are?
Nobody can touch me.
Suppose we better register you as a lethal weapon.
You ever met anybody you didn't kill?
Well, I haven't killed you yet.
That trailer doesn't do this movie justice at all. Obviously, this movie's from 1987, and that trailer really shows it. But I thought one of the strongest parts of this movie is the score, the way the score envelops you. And we'll get into more of that in a little bit. But in that trailer, there wasn't any of the score or anything that resembled any part of the movie other than the few lines of dialogue that they pulled from the movie, which I think is kind of weird. But let's get to the movie. This has been one of my holiday staples since back in the VHS days and Laserdisc and then Blu-ray. I've seen the extended cuts of this. This here is just the Blu-ray version from, I believe, 2006. And there really isn't much to it. There's no real extras. It's pretty much just the movie with the trailer as extras. I look forward to this every year at Christmas time. I really feel that, I mean, a lot of people laugh, like, oh, that's not a Christmas movie, and I could get into that with you, and that's not what this podcast is about. But I will say that it does have a Christmas feel because they really get that Christmas feel at the beginning of the movie, and unfortunately it's not in a good way, but it does advance the movie. That is part of the story of the movie, in that there's a lot of desperation at Christmas time. It's well known, you know, suicide rates go up, and you have Riggs putting a bullet in his gun, the chosen bullet, and feeling so desperate at the loss of his wife and child that he wants to commit suicide. And that's the basis of this movie, this buddy cop, odd couple movie. And it's, you know, if you want to say, oh, this isn't a Christmas movie, it could take place at any time. You have Riggs wanting to commit suicide. You have a jumper later in the movie that wants to commit suicide, obviously. It's that time of year, and it's sad, but it is. It's something that happens at this time of year, at Christmas time. Yeah, it is a Christmas movie. It is a holiday movie, and I usually watch it every year. It's one of my staples, my go-to holiday movies, and I won't apologize for that. It's like, I got to watch it some time of the year because it is one of my favorite movies. Saw it in the theater when I was a kid. I was 17 when this came out. This movie did not come out at Christmas time. I believe it came out in springtime, I think, of 87. I was 17, and, you know, yeah, it's a good date night movie for me. But over the years, I've really enjoyed it, really enjoyed all the extras and the behind-the-scenes stuff that I got on Laserdisc and DVDs later on. That opening scene when the girl jumps, I remember on... I think it was a Laserdisc. It was, you know, listening to commentaries and seeing behind the scenes stuff. I remember learning the first time, like, when the girl jumps, that's an airbag. She lands on a parked car, but the airbag, it's actually a painted scene that they put on top of one of those airbags that you'll see later in the movie that they land on in the jump when the guy committing suicide jumps off, he lands same type of airbag, but the scene where she lands, it looks like she's going to land on the car, and it's actually a scene painted on top of the airbag. And the funny thing is, when you freeze frame it at 4 minutes and 8 seconds, you can see that her butt is about to land directly on the driver's side windshield. But then when they cut back and show where she landed dead center on the middle of the roof, which that doesn't match up. And then they go back to the scene with Murdoch shows up at the crime scene, and the whole windshield is caved in. It actually looks like she landed where she was originally going to land on the airbag, where she lands on the windshield towards the driver's side. So it's all of that. If you frame by frame it, it's kind of doesn't match up, which is pretty funny. But my overview of this movie, I'll get into the dialogue in a second, but the best part of this movie for sound is the score. As I said a few minutes ago, the score on this movie, it really is, that's the part that goes around the room. For a movie from the 80s, this doesn't have any kind of dynamic, you know, front to back or left to right. There's a little bit of it going on throughout the movie, but it's mostly the score of this. It just, the music and the way they move the music around the room to set the mood, to get you excited, to get you depressed, you know, to bring the mood down. It really is a lot of fun in that way. But there's a few scenes here and there, and I'll get into a couple of those in a minute. But it really, there's not really too much else. I just enjoy the movie. Another scene where the stunt work was kind of convoluted is when Martin jumps with the guy that's trying to commit suicide on the roof, and instead of bringing him down normally, he says he handcuffs himself to him and is going to jump off. The scene's at like 32 minutes and 50 seconds, I think, is right when they're jumping off. You can see the handcuff, their hands come apart, the cuffs aren't attached, and then right after they left the building, they actually grab hands again in midair. It's kind of weird, but it's that was a pretty cool scene. I used to freeze frame that watching the stunt work there. But before I get into particular scenes that I enjoyed, I wanted to talk about the dialogue on this movie. This movie, it felt like the entire movie was done with like ADR. It like none of the dialogue was recorded live. It felt like everything was dead center. The entire movie, all the dialogue came from right from the middle. There were times in this movie that I actually like closed my eyes and I'm listening, and it felt like whoever was talking was right in front of me. So there's a scene with Murdoch talking to his buddy. It's at 1 hour, 6 minutes, and 30 seconds. And he's talking to his Vietnam buddy. They're getting the story on what's going on with everything. And the dialogue is dead center in the middle of the screen. But Murdoch is walking around the room. He's walking. There's one scene where he's talking and he's walking from the middle of the screen. Then he walks to your left off screen. But the dialogue stays dead center. And then, of course, his Vietnam buddy starts talking, and Huntsacker, he starts talking, dialogue at dead center. And like I said, it really feels like everything was recorded ADR instead of live. There are times when the lips don't even match, so you really get that feeling there. But I think a lot of it is because there's no natural feeling of movement across the screen. Like a lot of movies, if a character moves from one side of the screen to the other, you'll get that effect even with their voice as they walk off screen. The voice will go off screen with them. And you didn't get that in this movie. That's too bad. It's like maybe if they remaster this someday, we'll get that effect, and that would help a lot. But it's just a little, as I'm watching the movie, it's kind of nitpicky, but you know, it didn't take away from the movie at all, because you know, I've watched this for 30 years, so I've got probably over 30 viewings of it, and it hasn't slowed me down yet. But I still, you know, it just, it's one of those things, if I'm being honest, that's what's there. But let's get into some of the scenes. You know, it is an 80s movie, so these aren't going to be spectacular, but I do enjoy them, and I look forward to them when they pop up. The first scene I'd like to talk about is the scene at the gun range. This one takes place at 54 minutes and 15 seconds into the movie. If you've seen this movie, everybody knows this scene. This is the scene where Murdoch takes the target, puts it out, and it looks like it only goes out about 20 yards, and he puts a shot dead center. And then Riggs takes it and puts it out, and he puts it out like, looks like 60 yards, 70, 80 yards, whatever. You can't see it anymore. And he lets off seven shots, and those seven shots are the two eyes and then five shots across the bottom to make it look like a smiley face on the head. And bring, you know, obviously he brings it back. That's the big reveal. But the sound in this scene, it is so good, and it has been good for years. It's been so much fun because when you go into a shooting range like this, there's a lot of echoing. The gunshots are echoing, and that's what it felt like. And when you're looking at Martin and Murdoch and they're talking, there's gunshots going off to the right side of the screen. Obviously, the voice over here, I think, you know, ADR again, it's just what it is because that's what they did in this movie. But the gunshots going off on the side, it really gave you that feel and that side feel. And that's one of the things. It brings me back to when I was a kid and my theater was in my bedroom in my parents' house. And on the right side of the room had the gunshots going off. That was pretty cool. It's pretty rudimentary nowadays, but it still brings me back. So I really, really enjoy that scene. And it is a fun scene that if even in your living room, if you have a, you know, again, going back to if you only have two speakers, this scene will work because you can hear the gunshots on the right side of the room. So it's like I said, it's rudimentary, but I really enjoy it. The next scene that was pretty cool is right after that scene I told you about where Murtaugh is talking to his Vietnam buddy. The helicopter shows up. His Vietnam buddy, Hunsaker, gets killed. And then Riggs goes at the helicopter with his 9mm handgun. And the shots that are fired between the noise from the helicopter. It's very, very engaging. Obviously, the music, the score to this is very, very engaging as it is throughout the movie. But the bass and the distinct gunshots as Riggs is firing at the helicopter, it's a pretty good bass. It's not something that's going to go through you, but it's very distinct, very clear. It's a fun scene. Again, another 80s. It's an 80s movie. This isn't going to blow you away, but it's pretty good. And that scene's at 1 hour, 7 minutes, and 30 seconds. So the second to last scene that's worth noting, this scene comes at 1 hour, 17 minutes, and 40 seconds. And it's the scene when they're in the desert or whatever, and Riggs has been dropped off. He's waiting, you know, with a sniper rifle, and Murdoch's parked his car, and they're waiting for the arrival. Well, here comes the helicopter, the limo, the SUV, and as it comes across the desert, the music is building, the room is filling with sound. It really builds the tension of the scene, but then when that helicopter comes over and comes by you and flies overhead, it's the first time I feel in this movie that they really engage those rear channels as that helicopter went by, and it was pretty good. I really enjoyed that. It was, and again, going back to the 80s when I watched this on VHS and Laserdisc, 80s and 90s, that was a lot of fun then. Again, rudimentary, but hey, because, you know, and like I said, it's Christmas time, so we've got gunshots, we've got suicides, we've got sniper rifles. It's Christmas time. Let's enjoy ourselves. The last scene I'll talk about is the climactic scene between Riggs and Joshua, played by Gary Busey. In the movie, it takes place at 1 hour, 38 minutes, and 52 seconds. But on this Blu-ray, you can actually just go to chapter 20 and it'll start it right up. I really like this scene, not so much for the sound. The sound's pretty good because it has a really good, again, the score is so good in this movie. But the way they shot it with the spotlight, and then they don't even fake it. They're not going to make it look like it's raining. They just wanted to pump water on it, so they have the fire hydrant going off. How can we get water? And it's like, so you got the water coming in. You got the Christmas lights in the background. You've got the spotlight from the helicopter. You got noise from the helicopter. If this was modern days, that helicopter would be circling the room, which would be cool. But instead, you just get an ambient sound of a helicopter. But the scene itself, the colors, the bright contrast between the spotlight and the darkness of the background, and then you just, the fight itself. This was back before MMA was big, before Ultimate Fighter was big. This was, nobody really knew what jiu-jitsu was, and these guys are doing actual jiu-jitsu moves in this movie. Which is pretty, I didn't know at the time, knowing what I know now, it's a little bit, you know, I understand it a little better, and it's pretty cool seeing them pull off the moves. That's a different podcast, I could talk about that, but there's some flaws in it too, don't get me wrong, in the fights and the choreography, but it is a movie. But I thought the entire scene, it's just so well done, it's so much fun, and it's so clear now too. It's hearing Riggs yell no, you know, when they're telling him, let us take him, and it looks like he's going to be defeated and his face is in the mud. It's such a fun scene, and everything going on, it really envelops the room. And then right when they take him, everything obviously quiets down and brings you back to reality as we know it, but brings you back to Riggs, and just, he has come full circle now, and I guess he's fought off his demons after beating Joshua or whatever, but that's getting too deep into the movie, and that's not what this is about. But hey, it's a Christmas movie, and I really enjoy it, and there's a lot of similarities between this and the movie I'm going to talk about next week. I'll wait to surprise you with what that one is. It's my absolute favorite Christmas movie of all time. If you follow me on Twitter or know me at all, you probably already know what it is. But you'll see next week what that one is. And surprise, that one is going to come out on Christmas Eve. Instead of coming out on Friday, which would be the Friday after Christmas, my next week's podcast is going to be coming out on Christmas Eve. And that's kind of a little hint as to what the movie is, if you don't already know. So that's all I have on Lethal Weapon for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If it sounded like paint drying, I apologize. But hey, at least you're still listening to me now, so apparently you like paint drying. That's going to be my theme. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Let me know what you think of Lethal Weapon. You can talk to me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. Let me know ways I can improve the podcast. Does the timestamps help? I had a listener contact me through Twitter on DM. I won't give his name. He contacted me on DM. But I had a listener contact me and suggest that I put the timestamps in. So I was like, hey, that's a great idea. So I'll put that in. I'll also put that in the show notes, so you'll be able to see the show notes and check out which ones I'm talking about. But yeah, it's ideas like that that help improve the podcast and make it a little bit more fun, a little bit more interactive. So let me know. Hope everybody's having a great holiday season. Get your holiday shopping done. I will see you next week. But until then, home theater nerds, go push play. Happy holidays. Hey, Fred. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.